Watch a patch. Night gathers, and now our podcast begins. It shall not end until we're done talking. We are
the princes that were promised.
Welcome to the princes that were promised. It's me, it's Shawnee Wan, and joining me, as always, it's John. John, what's going on, man? You were telling me off air you had a little difficulty at work the other day. You got stuck there pretty late.
Just horrible. It's just absolutely horrible. There's just days like this, or that kind of days where, why did I want to become a manager? Because, you know, if I was a bookkeeper, boom, you're out the door, you know? You're right. Out the door at 4 o'clock.
You're like, oh, that sucks. See you later. See you tomorrow.
Sucks for you guys. I'm going home now.
Oh, see you tomorrow.
Looks like you guys can use a hand with that, but they don't want to pay me overtime. Sorry.
Yeah. They probably don't want to pay you overtime. I'm sure they do in that moment, but they can't. Their hands are tied. Your hands are tied in this case.
I had to freaking go upstairs and freaking roof in. It was freaking cold last night.
Oh, jeez. Did you really?
I mean, thank God. Like in this store, going up the roof isn't all that bad. There are certain stores where, oh, my God. And I'm afraid of heights. You want to know one tip about me is I am afraid of heights.
I did not know that about you.
I'm definitely afraid of heights. I've never been up on a ladder before. I get to, like, the third or fourth step. and then the fear gets to me.
If you go
on a basic ladder, a basic 12 step ladder, I get to the fourth step. That's it.
You get old Kramer on it.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Damn.
But like when I was in Wantagh, now being a manager, like, you have to go over these ladders. You have to go upstairs.
Right.
You know, to the roof. And like I went up, like, I did it once in this other store, the Hale site store, and the ladder is not even a ladder. It's like a straight upward step ladder thing. Okay. And the bars are like 2-inch round bar. It's not even like a step.
Jesus.
You know, it's bars and you're going straight up. And like getting up is not the problem. It's like getting down is the problem. Because you can't, like, you get down, you have to go down right away. There's no step for you to like lean on and center yourself and come down. You have to like go down. And it's just like a pitfall.
Oh my God.
You just go, and it's just a straight fall. And the Wantagh store too was a little better than that store, but not much. But I had to be like, over the summer, I had to go up there. Like, oh my God. I mean, I was getting good at it after a while because, you know, going back, there was one day where I was going back and forth, up and down on it because.
Just practicing.
Yeah, problems. No, it was probably refrigeration.
Oh.
Kind of like, it was tough to communicate. My phone, I can't hear my manager, my boss, like, trying really good through the phone. So I kept on going up to tell him this, what's going on. But in this store, it's a lot easier. It's actually legit steps. And the last step before up there is a nice little, like, I say a foot and a half, like, beam, metal beam, plenty of, you know, foot womb to maneuver. Being in a newer store, all these older stores, it's like you're playing with your life going up there.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but it's just kind of funny how unsafe everything was, like, just 20 years ago. Like, everything was, like, unsafe.
Yeah.
A lot of these
stores, I mean, yeah, they might have some, like, real old ones, but a lot of them weren't, you know, made in the 80s. And, again, here's the ladder.
Right. There wasn't such a focus on worker safety back in the 80s.
No. Who's afraid of heights? No one should be afraid of heights. Get up there.
You call yourself a manager and you're afraid of heights.
You can't get up there. You're fired.
Get up there, God damn it.
It's a ladder match, for damn sakes.
It's a 1980s ladder match. Deadly.
Where ladders weren't built to last.
Yeah, some deadly stuff, man. Well, I'm glad you got through it. I'm glad you're home. And I guess today, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about, because we haven't really, we've talked about Star Wars, but we haven't talked about Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire in quite some time. The holidays, work, everything's been busy. So we'll catch up on some news items that are out there right now. And then what we're going to do is we'll take a break, because when we come back from that break, we're going to go, I'm not going to say spoilers for season 8, but I will say
connecting some dots on possible leaks that look like they could be
right.
Legitimate in some form, in some fashion.
Right. And then we'll do some speculation on that.
Because you know me, I love a spoiler.
The supreme leader of all spoilers, John Canteen, he can't help himself. He cannot help himself.
can't. I just can't. I can't do it.
John, let me ask you this. If you went to see a palm reader or like some kind of psychic and they're like, oh, well, I know how your life's going to end, when it's going to end.
Dude,
would you spoil yourself?
I would. I need to know if I got to spend some last minute things.
All right. Well,
I'm going to die in 5 years. I better freaking save up and get that sword I want to fight for 3 years.
Fair enough. But you spoil yourself with everything, every piece of entertainment, every property that you've ever been like real interested in.
I didn't spoil myself really with The Last Jedi.
That's the one time should have.
I should have maybe. Maybe it's best if I do spoil myself because maybe that's a better production of something. There.
Right. So John learned his lesson. So it's going to be balls to the wall spoiler for John.
And it's a year to 2 months away. This is like 6 months away. It's yeah. It's not a year of this. And I got a feeling, and we'll talk about this when we talk about the spoiler section or the possible spoiler section, and, you know, it's been kind of quiet, but I have a feeling this next month or so, I think there's going to be some things are going to start coming out big time, like confirmed things. I mean, there was a lot of those like fake scripts and fake leaks that just weren't true, but I got a feeling this next month, we're going to start getting some heavy duty stuff.
Along those lines, that's a good lead in for
segue.
Yeah. Perfect segue for the first piece of, I guess we could call it news, but I believe she's the art director, and her name is, shit, what is her name? Connolly, or mm-hmm. What do I have this chick's name?
Something, Connolly or something.
Yeah, it's.
There's a Lee in there. We know there's a Lee.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, it's not, there's no Lee. Oh, well, actually, Riley, yeah, so there's a Lee.
There you go.
Yeah, her name is Deborah Riley, and she is the art director for Game of Thrones. She said that March will be a very busy month for her. So I take that as principal photography. Probably the majority of filming for season 8 will be done by March. And she's got to get to work with the post-production stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Although the art director, I mean, they double as a set director. Either way, I take it as either principal photography will be done or it will be nearing an end. They're doing like the big set pieces. I would think with a show like Game of Thrones, it's all about which actors you have there. And with such a large cast, it's making sure that you have everybody you need there. Even if it's principal photography heating up in March, you would think they'd be done by April, May at the latest, at which time it'll go into post-production. I don't know if you heard the quote from Macy Williams, which actually ended up being fake news, but she said that April 2019 will be when the final episodes start airing on HBO.
I think it is. I know there was that leaked picture, and that leaked picture might not have been true, but April 14th, 2019 would be, I think, perfect because it would finish up the Sunday before Memorial Day. So you don't have to worry about going through a holiday.
Yeah.
And that potential of losing viewership sometimes they feel when they go through when they've gone through with Memorial Day or July 4th. So I think that April 14th is very possible. I'm not saying I posted that on Facebook like last week or so. You know, it might not be true. That might be just being a fan, you know, but it'd be very viable.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I don't think they want to do another run of episodes, especially the final run of episodes, over the summer again. It didn't work out bad, but if they had a choice with it, I would think they'd rather go with the late spring or the midwinter. But if you go to midwinter, that's going to be over 2 years since the end of season 7.
You mean midsummer?
I don't think that they're going to want to do midsummer again.
Well, no, because I mean, you said midwinter, it'd still be a year and a half.
If they go, well, no, because it ended in September or August of 20...
August, the last week of August. So it'll be like a year and a half.
Right. So what I'm saying is
maybe
if they go, well, no, because it'll be a year this summer, but this isn't airing until 2019. So if they go and they wait until the winter of 2019, I'm saying, then it'll be over.
Yeah, it's a year. It'd be a year and a half.
No, it'll be 2 years, right?
What kind of math are you doing?
I don't know. I got you. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean winter. I meant fall. Fall is what I meant to say. That'll be over. Right, okay. That'll be over 2 years.
Then it'll be 2 years.
What the hell kind of calendar are you following? Yeah. So if they wait till the fall, late September, October, November, that'll be over 2 years, and that's too long. I don't think that they want to do the summer again. So then the only thing that makes sense is spring of 2019, because that's over a year wait, but it's not a crazy, crazy wait. I agree with you. I think April is the month. May is a little bit too late. That runs into the summer. March might be a little bit too early for six episodes. First week in April, second week in April, you're running 6 weeks. That brings you to the middle of May, and that's it. Then we're all depressed because Game of Thrones is over, but at least the nice weather's here. At least we have a three-day weekend on Memorial Day. Can you believe that? Can you believe that in the blink of an eye, we're going to be living in a world where there will be no more Game of Thrones?
It'll be over real quick.
Yeah. I did not include this in my notes for the news, nor did I include it in the Royal Decree. And it's not official, but the prequel series that they're talking about, there's no chance of them airing until 2021, I thought, is what I read. Meaning, it's not going to go into production until Game of Thrones' run has ended, and then it'll start production. I don't know if you heard anything differently or heard anything about the prequel series, but I know I read something. It might have been 2020, but I'm pretty sure it said 2021 is when it's looking like these prequel series will finally begin airing.
A long way, huh?
Yeah, it's a long way away. And honestly, they might be better served to air it in 2019. But I guess let it rest a little bit. Let Westeros rest. Let people start to miss it and then bring it back. I'm worried about the prequel series, though. Because even if they have a great time period, and I think the last time we talked about it, we decided that, I think we both agreed that Aegon's conquest was probably the best material to use. Did we agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's going to be tricky for them not to drop the ball with this. You know, it may be a case of oversaturation of Westeros and material by George R.R. Martin, or it may be it doesn't come close to living up to what people expect from Game of Thrones. It's going to be difficult for a prequel to capture the audience that Game of Thrones has now. And there was a crazy bit of news I saw, and when I read this, I was floored when I read this, that season 7 of Game of Thrones was pirated over 1 billion times. Billion, with a B.
Really?
That's crazy. It's crazy. Because there was, I think one of the episodes had 14 million viewers, but the average episode of season 7 had 10,250,000 or 260,000 viewers averaged per episode. If you multiply, let's say 11 million, you multiply that by the 7 episodes, that's 77 million viewers. This is a billion viewers that pirated these TV shows. In which case, this is like the most watched TV series in history, far and away. But I got to think that some of those billion people that pirated season 7 had also watched it when it originally aired on HBO, and then they pirated it afterward, or pirated it beforehand and then still watched it on HBO because there was nothing else to do on Sunday. But still, a crazy number who saw season 7, a crazy number of people that are interested in this property. And if HBO can figure out a way to kind of keep a lid on the pirating and the digital security, which they severely lacked last season, the final episodes are going to be earth-shattering viewerships. Let's see. What else is going on of note? Okay, I don't even want to talk about George R.R. Martin. I'll save that to the end if we got nothing else. Game of Thrones stamps.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, United Kingdom's got some limited edition Game of Thrones stamps, which I guess is pretty cool if you collect stamps, but I don't think you collect stamps. I know I don't collect stamps.
No, yeah. I can only use stamps when I actually desperately need to use a stamp.
Right. Send an email. Yeah, you collect swords, like a man.
Yeah.
And stamps. It is finally official, as in HBO had a press release that 2019 is what we're looking at. I mean, that was the worst kept secret. I feel like we say something about that every time we talk about HBO. But finally, HBO confirmed it.
I mean, it was confirmed probably months ago by Liam Cunningham, who just always loves to dish out things. And then he's like the first to criticize people for wanting to know spoilers. I'm like, dude, you're always out there telling something about something. I love Liam Cunningham. I love him as Davos and all, but it's just funny.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Davos, since maybe this is a little bit of a segue again, I read another, I didn't read the full article, but it was another article from Stephen Dillon on Stannis.
Really?
Unless maybe it was an old article that this website was rehashing.
Well,
to bring up.
What was he saying in particular? And
dude, it was just trashing it again. It was just like, when I was on Game of Thrones, I just had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to follow, but you would think if you get paid to act in it, especially such a major part of Stannis, you would, you know, maybe ask somebody what was going on. Do you think it's that he's just bitter he was killed off, or he doesn't seem like he enjoyed the experience?
No, he seems like he's pulling Alan Guinness on this whole entire experience. Like, yeah. He didn't realize that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, him and the guy who played Barristan Selmy are just very upset that their characters died, and they're just very, I don't know.
Well, the guy that played Barristan Selmy, I can understand, because he is, I don't see him in much else. Whereas Stephen Dillon, he gets a fair amount of work. And I'm sure the Barristan Selmy guy gets work also. But his character, I mean, obviously, Barristan Selmy TV show got the short end of the stick as far as adaptations go. Stannis kind of did too. I mean, we'll have to see where his character, where George R.R. Martin brings his character. But his name, his fame as an actor definitely stepped up a notch because of Game of Thrones. So you want to talk crap about it, but at the same time, you made some money from it. And I'm sure it parlayed into a lot more work for Stephen Dillon. What are you going to do? I don't, you know, whatever. He's entitled to his feelings. You don't have to knock it. I mean, everybody watches the show. You know, nobody's really going to stop watching because you're knocking Game of Thrones.
It was just funny. I was like, why, like, again? But it could be one of those things. It just could be an old article. I do notice a lot of times with Game of Thrones stuff.
Oh, dude, they recycle stuff, clickbait.
They recycle a lot of stuff. It's clickbait, exactly.
Dude, I kid you not. The title of the article was George Martin confirms the Winds of Winter release date. And I looked at the source and it was like some blog or some fucking news source that I'd never heard of. I'm like, all right, there's no way.
BR Silk 86.
Yeah. BRSilk86.com. But I clicked on it because I'm not going to not click on that. Because what if, you know, like I'm
right, right. You know, what if this guy all of a sudden like has this?
He got the scoop or something. I mean, knowing that it wouldn't be, but, you know, just that outside chance. So I go and I read it, and it had nothing to do with the Winds of Winter. He was talking about the Fire and Blood, the Targaryen, the leftovers from the World of Ice and Fire, all the Targaryen stuff that he's putting into another encyclopedia called Fire and Blood. And it talks about how he's doing that. It just goes on to speculate that George R.R. Martin is celebrating his birthday, whatever his birthday is. Could it be that he releases the Winds of Winter on his birthday as a gift to his real fans? And I'm like, what?
I think I read something about that too. And yeah, I read something about that.
Like I said, it's not news. It's just like some dude just writing bullshit. And then somehow, you know, he gets all these clicks and I'm sure he gets some money from it. That kind of shit should be illegal. And I can't believe I keep falling for stuff like that. But until we hear it from George R.R. Martin's mouth on Not a Blog, the Winds of Winter, nobody knows the release date for it. Did you see the Peter Dinklage Super Bowl commercial?
I can't wait to try those Doritos. If you want to know anything else about me, I'm afraid of heights, but I love spicy foods. Yes. I can't wait to touch those Doritos.
And you do love Doritos also.
Yes, I'm a huge Dorito guy.
It wasn't the best. It was the funniest commercial in the world, but it was pretty good. And it's cool that Peter Dinklage is, they had the Morgan Freeman version for Mountain Dew right after, and they kind of met up at the end of his commercial. It's cool that Peter Dinklage is kind of at that level. I mean, he's not at the Morgan Freeman level, but he's around that echelon.
To be someone that they pick, not facing off, but, you know, with Morgan Freeman.
I guess you could call Peter Dinklage an A-list actor at this point. Or when the series ends and he starts to just focus on movies, he could be an A-list actor, which is pretty cool. Lena Headey gave an interview and she said that everybody cried during the final read-through. A lot of people saying they're crying at the end, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of situations, how the show ends, that could make me cry. And maybe we'll save it for the...
Well, I think, you know, Kit Harington said the same thing. I guess thing for them, I mean, they're reading a lot of their characters who made it this far, and then all of a sudden, you know, some of their characters are going to die. I guess it's kind of sad. You've worked with these people for so long, and now, you know, you've grown up. I mean, some of them, you know, Kit Harington, Emilia Clarke, Sophie Turner Mason, I mean, they were kids.
Yeah.
When they even first got cast.
The same thing. So yeah. Sophie Turner, Macy Williams... The artist formerly known as Isaac Hempstead, right? You know, all these guys, I mean, they were little kids. And now, you know, Bran is like 7 feet tall. You know, a lot happened over the, I guess it's 9 years that they were filming.
Did you know that it was funny? I was just on YouTube a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get the DVD set for season 7 yet. I haven't gone one since season 2, so I don't know. It's just one of those things. I just don't. Maybe I'll get it. I'll just wait maybe until like they all come out on one box set in a couple of years from now. I think at this point, you know, like why waste the money? Why waste?
Right.
Was it $50? Whatever it is, $50 on just getting one season. I might just wait a couple of years from now, and all the seasons are done. Get the box set for like $200 or whatever it is, you know.
When we did our rewatch, you were able to access it through HBO?
Through a secured source of HBO.com on the go password.
Procured by one Dan Block. Oh, dude.
HBO should probably be going on there. How come like this guy Dan Block is in 5 different households in Long Island at the same time?
Yeah, they're all watching different episodes of Game of Thrones. What's going on here? Actually, Dan Block changed from Verizon to Cablevision.
And yeah, and it sucks because I was the person that set up his Verizon username password. I don't think he knows how to do that stuff. But thankfully, I got Silks. I'll share that with you when we're off the air.
Yes, I was watching it through there.
And that's how I watched it too. So there's no reason to buy it because you can watch it whenever you want if you just go to HBO Go.
Right, right. But in the DVDs, on the commentary, there is the... I think it was like the producers was on the commentary with Kit Harington, Emily Clark, Lena Headey. It was during the Ray Garliano wedding reveal. Kit's in the background saying, "Heir to the throne, heir to the throne." Lena Headey didn't. I don't know if she read the script or she. I guess she didn't have read. She didn't read the script. She didn't see it, and she's like, "Wait a minute! Oh no! What? They were what?
Oh, like it was. She was watching it.
She didn't. She completely had no idea.
Oh wow."
She completely had no idea.
That's crazy. But that may help her performance going forward if she doesn't know what's going on, you know, things that her character isn't supposed to know yet. You know what I mean?
Right. So that now, like, Cersei's character, that would be interesting to see when it's known that Jon's Rhaegar's son, because now she was supposed to marry Rhaegar, now then she's going to be even more hell-bent on killing him. Like, oh my god, dude, oh no, the wolf, you know, really? You're dead.
Well, unless she tries to marry him. No, definitely not. She's just going to try and kill him. Well, we're going to get to that in part two. Let me see what else I got here that's of, I guess, a couple George R. R. Martin things. This guy has got an artist for the 2019 A Song of Ice and Fire calendar.
Calendar? Uh-huh.
Yep. Because that's no problem for him. You know, calendars are no problem. It's books that he has difficulty with. The cover art is available, and it looks like the cover this year. The covers are usually real good, but the cover for 2019 is just a man in the night's watch. I think he was standing in front of the wall. I'll try to remember to tweet it out later. It's a great piece of art, but it's nothing exciting, and it doesn't seem like it's from a particular scene of any book. We got another mystery box. We have the GRRM box, which I think came out last year, where you got a copy of the new edition of Game of Thrones, and he autographed something for you, and depending how much you spent on the box. But now you have the Game of Thrones box, which is based just on the television show. It's through Culturefly, and it's a quarterly box. So you get 4 of them a year. It includes crap, poster, a fucking figure, you know, like the plastic dragon egg, stuff like that. Honestly, you know what? If I had money to spend on something like that, I might give it a try with one box. Because it'd be cool to get it and open it and check out the stuff. But ultimately, I would just throw it all out. Oh, award season. So Game of Thrones is getting heavy recognition by the Producers Guild, the Directors Guild, and the most prestigious guild of them all, the Makeup and Hairstylist Guild. And they've all nominated episodes from season 7. The Directors Guild, I wanted to talk about because it nominated, I should have wrote down the other shows that it nominated, but it nominated 3 episodes from season 7. The Dragon and the Wolf, Beyond the Wall, and The Spoils of War. It nominated our boy Padeswa for The Dragon and the Wolf, Matt Shackman for Spoils of War, and Alan Taylor for Beyond the Wall. And John, who would you give the Directors Guild Award to if you were going to give it to a Game of Thrones director? Keep it in mind, it's not best episode, it's best job directing. As much as I don't like the Spoilers of War, I do think that Matt Shackman did a good job directing that.
Right. I was going to say that because then people would be like, wait a minute, didn't you guys like not like that episode?
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't like that episode, but that doesn't mean that he didn't do a good job directing the episode. But I'd probably go with Padeswa, the dragon and the wolf, because of all the important stuff that happened. Spoilers of War had that huge scene, which was surely difficult to direct. Alan Taylor had a big battle scene too in Beyond the Wall, but Alan Taylor is a Hollywood director. You know, he's directed big budget movies with big battles and huge budgets. Which battle was more entertaining for you? The Lutrain battle or the battle beyond the wall? The battle at the lake? Did the lake have a name? What was the name of that battle? What do we call that battle?
Well, I have no idea, but the battle at the lake. I didn't like the Lutrain battle.
Yeah, I really didn't like the Lutrain battle. Like, it was cool to look at. It was like eye candy, but...
Well, I don't want to say I didn't like them. I guess I just had problems with that episode. I'm going to say the Battle of the White Weeks didn't just involve John. That just pushes, just, you know, my bias. My bias comes in with that.
Oh, it was a more important battle, and it was a game changer. The spoiler in that episode really changed the series the rest of the way. It was a more important battle. Was it more entertaining? Honestly, on first watch, I felt like I was more on the edge of my seat for the Frozen Lake battle. But I was on the edge of my seat for the Spoilers of War also. Frozen Lake definitely has better rewatch ability. But I think of those three episodes, the dragon and the wolf is the most coherent as far as a narrative. You have all those time problems in Beyond the Wall and Spoilers of War. The battle, as good as it looked, I know there's dragons involved, but the sense of realism was lost. Plus, if you think about the dragon and the wolf, besides you have the breach of the wall, the dragon pit council, the dragon pit, you know, that was a big scene. It's not action, but that's a big scene. You have basically your entire main cast there. And then he had John and Dany hooking up, the wedding of Rhaegar and Lyanna. You know, he had a direct Tyrion at the end there, spying on Dany and John. Baelish's execution, a lot of big scenes in that episode, and it really flowed nicely. So I think I would go with Padeswa for the Director's Guild Award, if it was up to me. Mm-hmm. But they'll probably give it to fucking Matt Shackman. John, how interested in the new Sci-Fi Network TV show Night Flyers are you?
That's one of the George R. Martin things.
It's based on a book by George R. R. Martin. Yes.
Will not watch it out of spite.
Me neither, bud. Is there any other George R. R. Martin property adapted into a TV show that you would watch?
Since he's not writing the book out of spite now, it seems, I'm not going to read or I mean, sounds kind of stupid. So we'll be watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But we got to hold tight on something. Like, you know, yeah, it's babyish. Yeah, it's get over it. But you know what?
Well, Game of Thrones, it doesn't feel like that's his anymore. That's Benioff and Weiss own Game of Thrones now. But anything else that he, you know, like if a wild card's TV series, which I think they're doing a wild cards TV series. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But he's doing a re-release of Night Flyers. That's his thing now. Instead of publishing a new book, he'll publish a re-release, updated version of the book, a little more expensive with some extra stuff in it. And that's it. He says as much on Not a Blog. Other than that, he hasn't said much of anything on Not a Blog. That's really it for the news. Have you heard anything non-spoiler related as far as George R. R. Martin, Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones, Westeros prequels, anything like that?
Have heard nothing. At least that I can remember.
If you can't remember it, then it's not worth remembering. All right, so let's take a break here. And when we get back, I'm not going to say that we're going to do spoilers, but there will be possible spoilers, season 8 speculation. We're going to go over some leaks that have happened and whether they're valid or not. Possibly some reports from the people that hang out where they're filming and take pictures. So we will be right back.
Spoilers.
Possibly some
spoilers. Spoilers.
Possibly some
spoilers. Spoilers.
Possibly some
spoilers.
Possibly some
spoilers.
All All right, we are back. Shoniwan and John, we're not going to exactly do spoilers because we don't have any spoilers for Season 8 to speak of. They're still in principal photography. That being said, that does not mean that we can't speculate at what's going to go down in Season 8. And it doesn't mean that we don't have any spoilerish updates from the filming of Season 8. We know Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke arrived in Iceland for Season 8 filming, and they arrived at the same time. How much do you think those two characters are going to be apart in Season 8?
I'm going to imagine they're going to be apart some. I mean, the first two episodes, I'm sure they'll be together because they have to go up north, but there will definitely be parts where they're not going to be together. I'm just going to go full on speculate that Dani's pregnant with John's kid, and that they set that up, that she can have children. They completely set it up. So I can't imagine her. I mean, by this, you know, when these battles are coming, Dani might be freaking like pregnant, and if Cersei's pregnant, then both of them will be pregnant, you know, so God knows what's going to happen with that.
All right. So then it's a little difficult then, because where is the time jump for the 9 months of pregnancy? Are we doing,
I don't know. You could probably go you could say maybe a 2 month freaking sea trip up north with your army. That'd be 2 months right there.
But that wouldn't make sense because we know characters have done it in like, well, two hours.
I know that. It's the minor effect.
Well, do you think they're not going to do a time jump from the end of season 7 to the beginning of the final episodes, right? Because they're headed to Winterfell. That's where they're headed at the end of season 7. We're not going to do a time jump where Daenerys has already met Sansa and they get along pretty well and they talk about...
No, I can only imagine what Sansa's going to feel, meaning Dany. She's probably going to yell at John like, oh my God, you know, her father killed our grandfather. You know, John's like...
Your grandfather,
motherfucker. Bran's like, hold on. It was John's grandfather that killed his own grandfather. He's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's on both lots. What are you talking about, Bran? I saw something.
Her grandfather killed our grandfather. And John could be like, oh, let's see what Rickon thinks about that.
Arya stabs freaking Sansa. Yes! Yes!
They have to be apart at some point. There was the script leak, which has since...
There's been so many script leaks, though. There's like, dude, I just laugh at it. You know,
yeah, like where are these people getting all this time to just like write this fan fiction?
Yeah, well, dude, you'd be amazed. A lot of people have a lot of time on their hands. There was like there has been a supposed page script leak that supposedly is legitimate that they've taught. There's like 4 pages of the script from different episodes.
Is this what you were telling me about John?
Yeah, it's kind of like a segue. Well, I was going to segue that into something else. I was going to segue into that because of the one thing we do have was a picture leak last week. It was a Watchers in the Wall, which is Common Dime that had it, where it definitely appears that Winterfell is going to be burned. Maybe not all of it, but there's a lot of the part of the castle was up in flames.
Would you be okay if there was no Winterfell at the end of Game of Thrones?
There's got to be something. There's got to be some sort of like, there's got to be something. Yeah. Like, it's got to be something for them to rebuild.
Yeah.
You know, dude, it's Winterfell. I mean, it's kind of obvious that it's going to fall. I mean, it's called Winterfell. Winterfell on Winterfell.
Winterfell on Winterfell. The elders came and Winterfell on Winterfell. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be the first castle attacked by the elders, but or the White Walkers, but it's going to definitely be attacked by the White Walkers. I mean, how does it go up in flames? They're not like flame kind of guys, the White Walkers. Unless it's up in flames and they're going to CGI it to like that frost that the Ice Dragon was blowing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't see the White Walkers setting fire or anything because fire is what kills the Whites. So could it be another army attacking Winterfell?
It could be their own dragons, you know, Drogon and Rhaegal just do an accidental fire that burns it, but, you know, trying to get, you know, the others.
Right, okay.
The White Walkers.
Yeah, all right, that's true.
Someone had I think one of the fake scripts had it that, you know, Cersei's plan was she was going to transport all kinds of wildfire up north and, like, burn Winterfell that way. I can't see that happening. I just have to believe that the fire just comes from a big battle at Winterfell between the armies. Hopefully Sansa sacrifices herself for the better good. Please. Now, she'll get away first. She'll be the one that goes to Harrenhal first or some shit like that, or the Vale first. So they'll get her out of there first. She's, you know, like, really?
She's going to be like Michael Scott in the when the fire alarm goes off.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love that episode. I know they say women and children first, but first off, we don't hire children. We're not a sweatshop. And if I let a woman go first, then I have a lawsuit in my hands. I can totally see her getting out first.
I don't. I can't see Cersei attacking Winterfell now that we talk on it, because everything she's saying at the end of season 7 implies that she's going to hole up at King's Landing and let the North, right, whatever happened up there. So why would she send an army up there to attack Winterfell? There's no point, because Winterfell is going to attack the others, the White Walkers.
But this leads me into the segue with the page script leak, whatever you want to call it. And I've always wondered that on the first attack, how's Jon going to withstand that? I can't see him withstanding that.
On Winterfell or?
Anything. And his the first attack of the when Night King comes through.
Right.
I can't see him, surviving a first attack. I mean, it doesn't seem plausible.
Okay.
Like, the Night King needs a couple of victories. You know what I'm saying? He needs a couple of Robb Stark-type victories.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Lakeshore, the Frozen Lake battle, you got to call that a Night King victory, right? You got to call.
Yeah.
And then,
but I'm talking about now the walls being broken. He still needs a couple of freaking victories.
An away win, if you will.
Right.
You would think that he's going to, the Last Hearth, you would think the Dreadfort, Carhold, all these keeps and castles that are farther north of Winterfell, closer to the wall, you would think they'd fall like dominoes. Winterfell, the Vale especially, just because of its situation. And I'm not saying this based on that epic fanfic script leak that we read last year, but the Vale is impregnable. They've been setting it up since we were introduced to the Vale, that the Vale is impregnable, and it is the most easily defended castle in the Seven Kingdoms. So you would think the Vale would put up a pretty good fight, and Winterfell would put up a pretty good fight, and those will be the tough ones to take. But all those other castles up north, the Glovers are fucked.
Those are going to be like the freaking Saturday morning superstar. Those are the jobbers. Yeah, right. Those castles are going to be the jobbers, But I couldn't see Jon being at this battle or something. And with this leak, whatever you want to call it, it sets it up perfectly that he wouldn't be there for this.
You said there are 2 leaked pages or 4 leaked pages?
There's like 4 leaked pages throughout. I mean, there's like one for episode. It goes to different episodes. There's one for like episode 3, episode 5.
Oh, wow.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
But there's one episode leak where it's Jaime and Cersei at King's Landing. And I guess basically all find out that Cersei lied to them. So I think that the thing is that Jon's going to go back down south to try to convince her again one last time that they need her. But then he gets arrested and he gets put into the black cells. This would make Jon would not be around for the battle. He'll be arrested. And Jaime goes down there and says, Cersei, you're an enemy. You're living in this world where you think all of us are enemies. The true enemy is coming and you're locking up the one guy who can stop him.
But so how far did Jaime get before he goes back?
I don't know. That's not in the script, right?
It's not on that page, but it feels like so much traveling to me.
Dude, how much traveling they do in the past freaking 4-7 episodes? They were going there, all in a spin of one episode.
Yeah, and John's got a lot to make up because he was at the wall for the first 5 seasons.
And one of the other script that, and I'm not sure, I can't remember off my top of my head if this is where they might say that Jaime kills Cersei maybe or something in this scene, or the mountain comes in or something happens, but there's also a chase scene. And I almost got a feeling this chase scene is in King's Landing with, I could be wrong on this, the way I was reading it, it's a chase scene, and it's probably with Arya trying to get to Jon and then trying to rescue Jon. That's what I think. And then what's going to happen is the Night's King is all going to, they're going to meet at King's Landing, I think.
So Jon's never going to get back north again. He's going to make the last stand at King's Landing?
I think so. I would imagine. But who knows? I mean, you still the Golden Company is involved now. Right. What are they going to do? Is this going to be kind of a situation, the Lord of the Rings, where they defeat Sauron, but the hobbits have to go back to the Shire, and they're still there?
Right.
Is there going to be another attack that the good guys have to face? And all the leaked scripts have something happen with the Golden Company or something, which they're leaked, and I don't buy a lot of it because that's a lot of it's really stupid.
The Gold Company has to have some effect, negative effect, for our heroes, because otherwise why would they include them at all, even if it's minor? But here's the thing, man. It's almost like I feel when season 6 ended, they cut out so much of the B plot lines and the B players and got down to the nitty-gritty of what was remaining. But I feel at the end of season 7 going into the final episodes, I feel like it's more complicated and there are more characters going into the final episodes than we had going into season 7. I mean, granted, Danny and John have finally met, and granted, you know, there's alliance against the White Walkers, the others, the Night King, but there's still so many people in so many places, and it seems like they're not done moving them around yet with just 6 episodes, even if they're all hour and a half episodes. It seems like a lot of movement and a lot of reasons for Benioff and Weiss to come up with to have them moving around the way they are. And maybe I'm overthinking it, and I'm sure they can figure it all out with one episode. But Jon and Daenerys are on their way to Winterfell, and I guess the only way to explain it is Jaime comes up there with whatever army he's going to bring with them. I mean, he's not bringing the whole power of House Lannister with him, is he?
No, he's going out there by himself. Maybe even Bronn will probably catch up with him or something.
I'm sure Bronn will go with him.
That's going to be it. You're not going to see an army. Yeah, they have the loyal to Cersei.
So Jaime will get there and say, Cersei is not helping us out. She lied.
Jon will probably go, okay, really? I got to do the... I'm going down south. We got to get her. I'll get her. I'll say something.
I feel like so many characters are going to disagree with him going down there.
Dude, they always disagree with Jon. They always disagree with Jon. But Jon's always trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. And Jon's really the only... I mean, he's the only one that ever makes enough sense. He's a natural leader. He showed that in season 6, and he showed it more in season 7. He is the king in the north. You're not going to send Daenerys. You can't send Daenerys. It'd be cool if they both went on a dragon.
Does Jon ride Rhaegal down there?
Maybe he does.
No.
No, they're not going to give up a dragon. They're not going to give up a dragon.
They can't give up a dragon because they can kill that dragon right away. Yeah, they might be able to to kill the dragon.
But honestly, that's the only explanation of how he gets down there so fast is if he's got a dragon.
You have to give up on explanations on terms of
distance and time.
Yeah, that's out the window. Forget about it.
They'll make it work as best they can, but ultimately,
right? If it fits the plot, yeah. It'll fit.
If they can get it in the time of the episode, then that's all we got to worry about. But that does worry. All the travel worries me, just because the others are marching. I mean, I hesitate to guess how long it will take them to move from the wall to defeat the last Hearth. I'm trying to look at these castles in the north now. The map's too far away for me, but the castles we know that they would conquer before they get to Winterfell. Last Hearth, Carhold, Dreadfort, Torn Square, Deepwood Mott, Dustin's, House Dustin is the Rills, I believe. House Serwyn, all these castles, these houses sworn to the Starks, they're all going to be at Winterfell. I mean, they're not going to be defending their castles. Or if they are defending their castles, it's with a...
skeleton crew.
Yeah, yeah. How is this going to break down? All right, so Tormund and Beric Dondarrion are going to race to Winterfell, I would think, right?
At least one of them will.
Beric's not long for this world, I don't think. Honestly, I don't know if Tormund is either, but they're going to race for Winterfell and they're going to say, yo, we're fucked. They just got past the wall and they got a dragon. They just think that Viserion's dead.
Right.
I can't see Jon Snow getting that news and then bailing. So it has to be something where...
He's going to go first. Jaime's going to get there first.
Right, and then he goes back thinking he has time, and then while he's gone, they get there with the news. And you know what? Maybe they don't even go for the last Hearth or any of these smaller castles. They just go straight for Winterfell.
You might not even see it. You might just see them just blow the way the pacing of these two seasons are going. You might just see marching through a castle, and you just have to be, okay, that's the house of House Umber right there, you know?
They're going to do like...
You might not even see a full-age battle.
You ever watch the Benny Hill show?
Yeah.
You know the Benny Hill show? They get the music. They speed up the camera. So it's like... And it's just like the White Walker is just taking the last turn. Dreadfort.
And I have to imagine, like, with Jon not there, someone's going to have to... Whether it be Danny, whether it be Sansa. Maybe it's be Sansa. I'm going to say it's be Sansa. Have to come together and say, listen, we can't stay in Winterfell. We have to go down south. We have to keep
I would up, think that you know. a fraction of them will, and the warriors that are there will, they're going to want to make a stand there at Winterfell. So who would be, if Jon's gone, right, and they're going to send Daenerys, they're going to send Sansa, I guess, to the Vale, which makes the most sense, unless they send them further south.
Harrenhal?
Ooh, maybe Harrenhal. That'd be interesting. Or maybe Riverrun. Right, because who's controlling Riverrun right now?
Oh God!
Well, Lannisters have Riverrun right now, right?
Right, would be Edmure Tully.
Oh, God.
Are we going to see Edmure Tully in the final episodes?
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? Probably. I mean.
So maybe Edmure Tully leads the defenses at Winterfell. Oh, well, if Jaime's going up there by himself, maybe he grabs Edmure Tully and he's like, all right, I need you.
I need your men. Listen, I need your men. You'll be able to regain
River Run if it's still somehow standing after.
Yeah.
Most likely it won't be standing. Yeah, I would think it'd make more sense for Sansa, Daenerys to travel south. But then you have the problem of Cersei. And where is she willing to send the Lannister army? She's not going to send them through the neck, through fucking...
The Reed.
Yeah, House Reed. But what is it called there? I don't know. I'm forgetting this information. Moat Cailin. Yeah, Moat Cailin in the neck. I don't think Cersei's going to venture north of that.
No.
But she may send her armies to the Riverlands, so that may not be an option for Sansa, Daenerys, and company if they're going to retreat from Winterfell. So maybe it is the Vale that they go to. My question for you, if Jon's gone, who's going to lead the defenses at Winterfell when the others approach?
Right.
I would think Jaime is going to follow Jon.
Jaime is probably thinking, like, wait a minute, Jon, you're going to go into a rabbit's hole if you go down there.
That'd be pretty cool if they go together and we get some Jaime, Jon.
That would be sick.
That's one of the meetups that I'm really looking forward to. If it happens, I think that'd be great. I mean, neither one of them would leave if they know the others are that close. So they leave, Tormund gets there, and then Daenerys, Sansa bounces. Tyrion is probably still there. Maybe he leads the defenses.
Yeah, you'll probably see it.
Along with Tormund. Whatever it is, they're going to lose, I guess. And maybe they only burn Winterfell because the White Walkers and the Whites have taken it over. So they're like, let's burn the castle. They escape, and they decide to use the dragons to burn the castle. But if Daenerys is gone, who's riding the dragons?
Well, it's got to be Daenerys. She has to be the one riding them, and then...
So it's just Sansa that escapes. It's tough, bro. It's tough trying to figure this out. I don't envy Benioff and Weiss's job. I could come up with a storyline for it all, but based on the things that are leaking, the photos from the set that we're getting, it's really hard to piece this together. Let's just go back to Jon, then. Jon goes down to King's Landing. He approaches Cersei, and he says, yo, what happened? Thought you were with us.
Right, right.
Jaime's not with him. Maybe Jaime lets him go in by himself in case something happens. Maybe he goes in with him and they both get arrested and then Arya saves them both.
I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it just, my point with going back, it just, that would give a reason for Jon not to be in this battle to get.
Yeah.
How many of these encounters can Jon escape and not get killed? This would be a legit reason for him not to be there so he can be a little more realistic. He won't get killed.
Yeah. We could use without the suspension of belief with him getting through another major battle like that, especially because if Winterfell, I feel like if Winterfell was going to be lost, I don't think that he would give up. Like, I think he's the kind of guy that would go down with the ship.
Right. But if he's not there, there's no shit to go down with.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
All right. So it's a mishmash. I can buy that somehow Jon gets back to King's Landing. I don't think Jaime would let him go by himself. I feel like Jaime would go back with him. Can we talk about Melisandre for a moment?
Sure.
I haven't seen any reports about even her coming to set,
saw that she was in the area.
Okay. How do you think Melisandre plays into these final episodes then?
I'm sure she's going to say we got to sacrifice someone. When in doubt, sacrifice.
The White Walkers are climbing the walls. What do we do? Let's sacrifice somebody.
But why? Because that's what we do. Get Sansa. It's a win-win.
The major season 8 spoiler that we have so far is Winterfell being on fire, right?
I think so. I think spoiler enough that, yeah, there will be a battle there. Everything else at this point, I think, is just...
It's still up in the air, or it's speculation.
I mean, there's Dothraki in the area. We've seen picture of Dothraki huts in the north. They're in the filming, so you know there's going to be a big battle there.
Yeah. I'm sure the Game of Thrones crew would have loved to keep this revelation under wraps until the show aired, but you will now understand why that was absolutely impossible. Put it bluntly, Winterfell is up in flames, and it wasn't just a little bit of smoke. With some very real fire alongside clever lighting and smoke, the entire set was lit up. Surely, there is no way to ignore what this means. In season 8, Winterfell will fall. Many predicted this already, but now that's an inescapable fact. And more than that, Winterfell will burn, all of it, if the scope of that fire is anything to go by. Huh. They even say this could well be Viserion's blue flame, just like they did with Wildfire in seasons 2 and 6. Normal file could be filmed and then the color changed post-production. Yeah. But I feel like it looked like he was shooting blue flame, but wasn't it like ice when it hit the wall? Like, wasn't it more like a laser beam than fire?
I forgot what the guy said. I thought it was blue flame, though.
Oh, Jesus, bro. I'm finally seeing the picture of Winterfell in flames. Yeah, that's up in...
Yeah, that's not...
Jesus.
That's not a small little oven fire over there. It's... pretty much, you know, it's a good portion of the north side of Winterfell.
The Winterfell Volunteer Fire Department is not going to be able to put that out. Major battle sequence, which included 400 or 500 extras, which puts it on par with the Battle of the Bastards and the Lutrain battle. This is a big one. I feel like we're going to get quite a few big ones during the final episodes. It's going to be sad to watch Winterfell go down, but surely, when all's said and done, it will be rebuilt. All right, your boy Bran, how's he going to help out?
He has to be involved, I think, in that, you know, George R. Martin said that there was, or, you know, the producer said there was three...
Dragon riders.
No. Three, what's the word? Three...
Not battles.
No, three, you know, the hold the door scene. There was three plot twists. There are three plot twists. I have to imagine that last plot twist has to involve Bran somehow.
Who else would it involve? It's not that much of a plot twist if Jaime kills Cersei. That's not really a plot twist because people have been seeing that coming. It might be a plot twist if Euron Greyjoy kills Cersei, but I don't know if that's the same level as Hold the Door or Stannis burning his daughter. It might be. The thing with that, it's essentially a villain betraying a villain. You can look at it that way. So, yeah, it's a twist, but it's not like a huge, huge twist. So maybe it is Bran. I mean, do you think it's Bran is the Night King? I feel like that's too obvious. If they do that, that's like people have been calling that a lot now.
The thing about Bran is, and we have to remember this, even back to first book, the early seasons, Bran always does things he shouldn't be doing, that he's told not to do.
Right.
You know, don't be climbing, right. And he climbs. You know, that's how he sees Jaime and Cersei.
Don't spend too much time in the Wolf.
Right.
Don't spend too much time in the Weirwood Network.
Right. Don't warg into a human.
Yeah. Don't touch the Night King.
Right.
I told him that one too late.
And he constantly always does things he shouldn't be doing. I think he's going to go back in time to when the Night King was made. And I think he's going to try to stop it.
But in doing so,
he's going to warg into that guy, and that is how he is the Night King.
Okay.
Because he's stuck in that guy's body.
So are you saying he's stuck in that guy's body in an epilogue situation, or do you think he's stuck in that guy's body, and then the only way to defeat the Night King is to kill Bran?
Kill Bran. That's the plot twist. Jon Snow's going to have to kill Bran.
Arya's like, Jon, I'm not sure who, but either Bran or Sansa has warged into the Night King. The only way we can defeat them is by...
Kill them both.
We should kill them both to be safe. Jon's like, damn it. You're right. When you're right, Arya. And then in just like one slice, he beheads them both. Yeah, I could see that happen. That'd be a pretty cool plot twist. And that's kind of part what everybody's predicting, where he becomes the Night King.
But he's not really the Night King because he's war.
Yeah.
The Night King has all the abilities we know Bran could possibly have. The Night King has. It's the same abilities almost. I don't know. Right. So
Bran's outmatched when he tries to take control of the Night King's body, and the Night King instead kind of is able to take control of Bran's body, and it's like a Harry Potter or Horcrux situation kind of thing.
I'm probably completely wrong on that. I'm probably completely wrong, but I just feel like he's going to do something else that he shouldn't do. And this, to me, is possible what he could be doing.
Okay. So Bran's not going to, he's not going to be a dragon rider.
And then that's when, you know, when Bloodraven says to him, but you will fly. Well, maybe he will fly because he's a Night King flying off Assyrian. I don't know. I'm dead wrong. I'm probably dead wrong on that. I really am.
That's a well thought out theory. I like that better than Bran dies and at the end of the show he becomes the Night King. I don't like that.
It is kind of where the plot leaks has something similar to that. I'm not going to take full credit on that. I can't. But there's just something about it I think that could happen.
How do we even get to the God's Eye?
Well,
in these six episodes, while the traveling is
Mira
going on.
Reed's going to be pulling him to the God's Eye. You know?
Settle up, partner. We got to run.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, man, not again.
I think I've probably talked about it. It's that little meme or that meme video of like all the stuff from last year with Mira Reed. It was like saying, Bran, you know, my brother died for you. I almost died for you. And he's just looking at her like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
You know, like, Luke, I am your father.
And he's just looking.
Looking. It's just so funny. The Bran memes are great.
But when he reacts at one finally. Which one does he react at?
Oh, I forgot. I'll do a look on it.
It's like the last one he finally reacts. Like he smiles a little bit or something like that.
I love Bran Stark memes. I really do.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're the best. They're pretty cool.
And they're so popular right now, too.
They're endless, too. You can make so many of them, you know, just going through the whole series. Dr. Brannhatten. For such a powerful guy, like, he's done jack shit. Which one do you got, dude? What do you got?
It's from, like, season four. He meets the original Blood Raven that the Blood Raven had in the show. You're going to help me walk again? I live in a tree. Do I look like I'm a fucking doctor? That's from season one. Gets a first clip to sex. Paralyzed for life. Dude, I love it. I can watch them all day. It's so good.
Gets first glimpse of sex. Paralyzed for life.
Paralyzed for life.
Nice. Euron Greyjoy.
I don't know what's going to happen with him. That's another thing. That's another, like...
wild card.
Is it going to be a wild card, or is it just going to be, like, another, like, shaggy dog type of thing? You know, a Rickon type of thing, where you think he's going to do and be this great obstacle, but it just turns out to be, boom, dead. Yeah I don't know. Like,
I don't know, man, because I feel like he's... it could be a shaggy dog, but I feel like it's not... like, he's under the radar right now. I feel like not a lot of people are expecting anything from him. Silk thinks he's just going to get burned by a dragon or something. Nobody's expecting much of anything from Euron Greyjoy. I mean, that may be the case. Maybe TV show Euron is there to help Cersei and he gets killed. I'm still sticking with he's the one that's going to kill Cersei. I don't know if I'll go so far as to say he'll be the king of the Seven Kingdoms, but he's going to have a big part to play in the ending. Who goes down first, the Night King or Cersei Euron at King's Landing?
I don't know. That's a tough one. That really is a tough one. Because I think, as I said before, is this going to be kind of like Lord of the Rings?
And like that's like the Shire moment is taking King's Landing.
It's taking King's Landing back, and, you know, I don't know.
Well, if Jon is at King's Landing and Jaime's at King's Landing, and that's where they do the final stand against the White Walkers, if Jon doesn't go back north, maybe it's a situation where somehow Jon and Jaime win over King's Landing, Euron or Jaime kills Cersei, and then Euron escapes with the Golden Company, come back later on. Or maybe they just kill Euron, and then it's settled, and then final conflict with the White Walkers takes place at King's Landing. That could be the case, too. Jon Snow being at King's Landing changes a lot. If you hadn't told me this, I would never have thought that he's going back south. Like, I would think that Winterfell's the final stand, unless it falls and he escapes, maybe he'll fall back to King's Landing, but I wouldn't think that he'd go back there before Winterfell gets attacked. Although it does make sense if he doesn't know that the wall's fallen. I guess it does make sense. It does work. Tricky with the timing. What did Melisandre say in season 7 to Varys before we don't see her anymore for the season? She said she'd be back, right? Or she said...
She's going to die in this country, as will Varys. She brought ice and fire together. Melisandre still doesn't even know that Jon is ice and fire. So I can't imagine what she's going to think about when she finds out about that.
Well, she has an idea that he's Azor Ahai.
Right, but not because of...
his lineage.
Right.
Well, okay, so then that's the other thing, bro. How much Azor Ahai is going to play into the final episodes? I mean, they got to touch on it. Is it going to be like a Super Saiyan kind of thing? Like something where Jon becomes Azor Ahai and he's the last hero and he's like a super-powered hero? Is that what we're going to see? We're going to see something like that? Or do you not think that Game of Thrones is going to go there?
I don't know. They really haven't, I mean, they touched on it, but they haven't really made a huge strive towards it.
But they've done that in previous seasons and, like, mentioned it in passing and then mm-hmm. come back to it big time in a later season. So, by all accounts, they could still do it. Mm-hmm. I would like for them to do it. I don't know about you, but I would like for them to touch on Azor Ahai. And, you know, even if it's not Azor Ahai reborn, but the prophecy of Azor Ahai.
The prophecy in itself.
Yeah, even if it's, like, most of the prophecies, not exactly what we thought, but we do get that prophecy somehow. I'm trying to see if there's any other set news. John and Danny are in Iceland, and then we have that Gwendolyn Christie and... well, it says Gwendolyn Christie and 4 castmates travel to Iceland. I always thought that Iceland was beyond the wall. Isn't that what they used Iceland for?
Mm-hmm.
Following the lead of Emilia Clarke and Kit Harington, Christopher Hivju... I didn't say that right, but that's Tormund. Joe Dempsey, who is not Podrick, the other dude. Robert's bastard. Ian Glenn, Jorah, Gwendolyn Christie, and John Bradley. Samwell were seen and photographed in their journey to Iceland earlier today, enjoying a nice lunch at the airport. What would bring just those 7 characters together?
Getting the battle at Winterfell.
Sam's already at Winterfell, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The first scene with him is him and Bran being in the crypts waiting for John.
I believe they shot the supposedly, actually, I just remember this, that this is another potential spoiler right here. Actually, this is what I know about. There's a scene that's going to take place early on, where it'd be the first episode, the second episode, where two major characters are in the Crypts of Winterfell. I have to imagine it's Bran and Jon.
No Sam?
They just said two, so I imagine it's just Bran and Jon.
And Jon hasn't seen Bran yet, right? That's still a reunion we're waiting for?
Yeah.
That's cool. Where did we leave Brienne? Was Brienne in Winterfell?
She was in the pit. She went.
She was in the dragon pit, but then didn't they all go back north, or where the fuck did they go? Because she didn't go beyond the wall.
No. I mean, she probably goes back up north, but you didn't see her go back up north with the ship.
But it's assumed she did, because she's going to go and continue to protect Sansa, mm-hmm. practice with Arya. The fact that Tormund's there, that's good news for his character. That means he ain't dead yet.
Yet.
And the fact that Beric Dondarrion's not there, he's dead. In final episode, season 8, where do we pick up Tormund and Beric?
Probably fleeing. Tormund probably goes to Winterfell and Beric probably dies.
See if there's anything on here to comment on. What did you think of Emilia Clarke in the Solo trailer?
Well, it's just that one little shot of her, right?
Yeah, but she's driving around with Han Solo. I mean, obviously, I guess she's going to be the love interest. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say that she's not going to make it out.
Probably not.
Yeah, these are old photos of King's Landing. Yeah, there's nothing much on Winter's Coming. It's really just Watchers on the Wall that has... Oh, so yeah, they're saying that Kit Harington is where they built the King's Landing site.
Yeah. So that looks like it's a very possible spoiler.
Especially if none of the other guys are there. Wow. Let's end this with a question, John. Who needs Solo, a Star Wars Story, to be successful more? Disney or Emilia Clarke?
Emilia Clarke.
Yeah, right?
Only because anything Star Wars holds a lot more. You can use a couple of dents.
Yeah. Do you feel better about Solo after seeing the trailer, or are you still jury's out?
A little bit, but I'm still not going to... I still have to see, and, you know, I still think it could be very, you know...
Dude, what's been going on with Tony Teflon, man? He's, like, all over the place with some of these videos.
Yeah, well, he had one out lately, recently, and he's been saying for a while, but he's really almost confirmed me with that Stannis wrote the pink letter. He really brought it up a lot of good points, and I'm gonna stand by that theory.
I'm still on Solo. I'm sorry. We'll go back to Tony Teflon in a second, but like it looks really good. I think Lando looks great.
Mm-hmm. Would be interesting. I hope we see how Han got the Millennium Falcon. You know, you lost her. You lost her and me fair and square. I wonder how that's gonna.
Yeah, how to play
that I'm interested in the most. I think of the whole entire thing.
He's like, all right, so he goes, I thought we were in trouble there, but we're fine. We're fine. I can totally hear Harrison Ford's Han Solo delivering the lines with that timing. It's just his voice. He sounds like a teenager. Mm-hmm. That's my main problem with it so far. And I thought he looked like him, but seeing him in the trailer, I feel like he looks less like him. But that's tough. You can't. I mean, how do you get somebody that looks like Harrison Ford? So, you know, you got to suspend belief a little bit. What were you saying about Tony Teflon? He's pretty sure Stannis wrote the pink letter, and you agree with him?
I agree with him, yeah.
Okay.
Especially, and I'm going to write, maybe I'll get some heat from the cult. The take on what Tony did, I guess he was, you know, it's either like, I guess it's, the main theories are it's either Stannis or it's Mance Rayder that wrote the pink letter.
It's too obvious that it's Roose.
Ramsay. It's definitely not Ramsay.
They're sending the letter to get Jon Snow to bring some reinforcements south.
Right. And, I mean, a lot of people think, you know, like, there's certain people who think it's Mance Rayder.
Those are really the only three candidates, is Ramsay,
Mance, and Stannis.
I guess you could throw Roose in there also, but for Roose or Ramsay, it doesn't make any sense because they're going to have their hands full with Stannis. They don't know what they're up against yet.
Yeah, why do you want to, why do you want the army down there?
More attackers to your castle. I was going to say, the only thing with Stannis is I feel like that's not his style to manipulate and to trick people. Like he'll
Watch the video again. Watch his latest video. Watch he addresses that. Tony Teflon addresses that.
Okay,
He addresses that same question because he said he brings it up. A lot of people that's not Stannis. That's not Stannis. He addresses it. He says that two times he's tried to get Jon to go with him and he's failed. The third time he's got to do it. That third time's a charm. Or three is the magic number. That's how he gets him.
That's a good point. Because I would never thought Stan is capable of burning his daughter. But if he's okay with that, I don't see why he wouldn't be okay sending a fake letter. And he needs to help anyways for the good of the realm. So
right. And that's actually a good segue to why I wanted to add. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to add it, but I'll add it real quick. But watching Lord of the Rings again. You know, Sean, you've read the book, so you can probably mm-hmm. help me out on this more than I can. But in the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Right.
The elves actually come with Gandalf at the end, right?
Yes.
And not Aramir's army. Now, where is Aramir's army? Is he with, where are they in the books? Are they not there?
No, he,
in the books.
I'm pretty sure that he went also. Like, I'm pretty sure it was Aramir and the elves. But honestly, dude, it's been years since I read them.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Gandalf came with elves and with Aramir's army. And I think Peter Jackson put the elves there.
At first, as he said it just to make it a little more realistic.
Well, yeah.
You thought they had a little better chance instead of being completely on there, but you gave them a little extra army in the beginning.
Right.
To make it a little more realistic.
Make it more realistic. Plus, when they start to lose, what looks like they're going to lose, and they had the elf army, it totally raises the stakes because then you're like, well, I mean, they had the elves and they couldn't beat these guys. So that makes Gandalf's save that much better, you know, because mm-hmm. things look so dire. So having the elves there raises the stakes. It gives that exchange between Aragorn and Theoden King more meaning. That last ride, you know, the ride out, mm-hmm. ride with me. You know, that fucking set. Dude, I love the end of Helm's Deep.
Nah, it's great.
When they go riding out, it gives that more dramatic effect. And then finally, when Gandalf shows up with the exiled nephew, then it's like, awesome. You know, because things looked so bleak. And it's really because, you know, if you showed up with the elves there, then it's like, all right. Even at the last moment, even though Gandalf's there, you know, he charges down the hill. But then he shines that light at the last second. And then that's when they win it. I'm pretty sure that's why. I mean, I'm okay with most all the changes that Peter Jackson made, Lord of the Rings. Like, I didn't need Tom Bombadil or whatever the fuck the guy's name is. I think it's a dumb character.
But I was just watching that, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the book, What's Going to Happen in Winds of Winter, and how if we feel that Stannis is going to be at the Battle of Winterfell a lot longer than we saw in season 5, and he's actually going to maybe be the more of the changes that they gave. Jon was going to be the main battle commander there and leading the charge. Going on the sense of switching things, I've been saying it, that Melisandre, whether it be with Stannis, we're not going to get into if Stannis knows about it or has any, you know, Melisandre is going to sacrifice Shireen to try to help Stannis. She thinks it's going to help Stannis.
That's why she's sacrificing Shireen, but then she doesn't realize that by sacrificing Shireen, it brings Jon back.
It resurrects Jon.
It'll be blood magic then, the stuff that Dany was doing.
Right.
You texted that to me, and I really like that. So then it's Jon.
Jon is going to be the Vale army. He's going to be the Vale. He's going to come down there with the wildlings.
And he's going to be like Gandalf in that sense, which is obviously Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, is a big influence on Martin. So that makes sense.
And that's how the Northern Lords give him King of the North, because he's actually the one that actually saved the North, was Jon and the wildling army.
And it makes sense furthermore because of the Pink Letter. John was going to go down there anyway.
Right.
And it makes sense because obviously Benioff and Weiss aren't going to have Shireen sacrificed to raise John, because then it makes you question John, whereas Martin's not going to be afraid to go there.
Exactly.
He's not painting John in the shade of gray, but you will kind of see him that way because an innocent little kid died for him to come back. And it'll be good drama for when he finds out that that's what happened. And furthermore, it makes sense that Benioff and Weiss had John leading the charge because it skips some steps to get the Vale and Winterfell together and Jon as King in the North, where he leads the fight and he's the hero of the fight. Even though the Vale army came in to save the day, it's still Jon that's the hero of that battle. So I'm buying that, dude.
Strategically speaking, there's no way the Vale army could have came up north and gone past Moe Caelan without anyone from Ramsay's camp knowing.
You would still think he'd have scouts at Moe Caelan. Exactly. You know, the whole realm's at war.
Right. Jon coming from the north to Winterfell, he's not going to get notice on that.
I feel like Benioff and Weiss didn't make much use of Moe Caelan at all. And I guess, yeah, it's okay for the story they tell. They can skip it, but I mean, Moe Caelan's such a big factor.
And I'm just trying to put things, maybe then Sansa goes back up north at that time with the Vale when she finds out that Jon's there and they've regained Winterfell. And then maybe in that battle, that's when Stannis dies. Maybe he battled him. Maybe he dies in that battle, and then Jon comes in. That's just assumption.
Okay, I'm with it. And Sansa has, at this point, either she's revealed herself as Sansa at the Vale, because she still hasn't. She's still Elaine. Mm-hmm. But maybe by the time Jon saves the day, she's revealed herself who she is at the Vale, or once she hears that Jon has taken Winterfell, it's safe enough for her to reveal herself.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Peter, but I'm going back up north.
Yeah.
To Winterfell. What do you mean? Well, because I'm Sansa Stark.
Obviously, he's going to follow her because she's his meal ticket, and then we can get into the same storyline right. For Baelish in Game of Thrones. That makes a lot of sense, dude. I like that. Did you read that somewhere, or did you come up with that, or what?
No, that's what I came up with, just on piggybacking the whole that Stannis was the one there with the pink letter.
Yeah.
He now, with that third attempt, and after coming back from the death because of the Shireen sacrifice, he will still go on his motives to go down to Winterfell.
Good job, dude. Very good job. That's very insightful.
And that is the change in the show. They give Jon the Stannis at the battle in the beginning, and they have the Vale army as the saving army. In the book, it's going to be Stannis' army against Roose Bolton, you know, Ramsay Bolton's army. And then Jon's wildling army at the end is going to come in and save the day.
I think it's great. You still have Tormund, and I'm pretty sure one's dead at the end of Dance of Dragons, or, you know, they're
right.
They're
but Tormund could be with Jon with the fight. And this would kick Jon away from, the Night's Watch, and the wildlings away also from the impending attack on the wall by the others.
Good stuff, bro.
The wall will fall. Bolomarsh will die, whether it be with the battle of the Wildlings or the others. They'll be overcome, and the Wildling army with Jon will go down south to Winterfell.
And then maybe it's Dollar said that travels from the wall to tell him the wall's fallen. Mm-hmm. I hope. I don't want that guy to die. I do like the book version of Dollar said better, but I do like it, Dollar. Dude, that's real well thought out. Nice job by you, because it's well thought out. It piggybacks off everything. First hearing it from you, I can't find any plot holes in it. I can't find anything to question, or I can't find anything that, like, you have to make fit. It all just fits naturally. Good job, bro. Good job. All right, dude, you got anything else with news or speculation for season 8?
I think that's all I have.
Yeah, definitely got plenty. All right. Well, bend the knee. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepromiseprinces. Send us some little birds. Follow us on Twitter @PrincessPromise. Check out the Westerosi Companion, theprincesthatwerepromised.com. Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Castify. Please leave us a review. We'll give you a shout out on an episode. We'll really appreciate it, and it will help new people to find the Princes That Were Promised. John, always a pleasure, and we will speak with you guys next week.
Bum 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 b